Money is a big deal. Unfortunately, it's hard to do without it. As much as you try, you find you can never have enough of the blooming thing. And when you do have enough, something comes in that you need to spend it on. And then when you don't have enough, you're like, oh, I need more, I need more, I need more. So it's one of these things, you wish you didn't have to have it, but you need to have it because that's the way life works. And here's the good news this morning. We're going to look at it. Jesus spoke a lot about money. In fact, I'm going to give you some statistics in a moment just to encourage your heart. He spoke a lot about money because he knew that money and possessions were going to be one of the most difficult trials that we would face in life. He knew it was going to be one of the most difficult challenges. I would suggest this morning, and I'll not do a show of hands because I don't want to get this depressed, but I'm sure at some point we've all been in money troubles or we've had money issues. Or at the very least, we've had times where we wish we had a bit more because we've got to pay this thing or that thing, or an unexpected bill came, or an unexpected circumstance happened, and we thought to ourselves, oh my goodness, how am I going to make ends meet? But good news, God has a lot to say about it. But have you ever been stuck in your finances? Because this is what we've been talking a lot about this last few weeks, being stuck in things, stuck in relationships, stuck in life. Where do I go next, Lord? What do I do here? How do I talk to this person? How do I make the difference? And again, money is one of the biggest things that we can be stuck in. Here's what I've realized about money. It wants to dominate your life. Here's what money wants to do. It wants to kill every dream. Like, for example, I've got a dream, Lord. I'd love to achieve this. I'd love to go for that. And then someone says, but have you got the money for it? Which is a great question, but it can be a dream killer because it's like, oh, that's the biggest worry. That's the biggest concern. And of course, we have to have wisdom. The Lord's saying we have to have wisdom. We're going to look at that this morning as well. So the Lord is going to give us wisdom. But what he wants is that it's not a dominator in our lives in the sense of it's dominating us. It's trying to be him in our lives. It's trying to overthrow us. It's always undermining us. It's always restricting us. It's always constraining us. That is what God never intended. But that's what money always wants to do. And who's behind all of that? Of course, the enemy. And it wants to get in the way of our love. And we're going to read some verses this morning that says this, that if we're not careful, that money can start to become the object of our most attention. It'd be the object of our love. It's the things that we start to think about the most. And even though it's a hate, it's a big concern. So it becomes an idol. It becomes a thing that we're always thinking about. And so what do we do with that? And how do we get around it? Or what does the Lord say about it? Here's what 1 Timothy 6:10 says. A verse I think's probably been misquoted so badly for so long, we're going to correct it this morning. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But here's what we tend to do is we forget the love word and we say this, for money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we start to think that money is the worst thing in the world. There is nothing wrong with money. It's just what it does on our hearts. It's what we start to get concerned about. It's the thing that it speaks to because money in itself is just a piece of metal. It's just a piece of paper. It's just whatever type of material it is now, some kind of plastic that every shop hates. But that's all it is. And in fact, money was only ever meant to be a tool, but what it wants to do is dominate your life and become your first love. And what does Jesus say? I want to be your first love. I want to be your first love. And that's why the word love is used with it, for the love of money. Whenever it starts to become our be-all and end-all, if only I had a tiny bit more, if only I had this, if only I had that, and I'd be able to do this, and I'll be able to do that. But step back and think for a moment what that's really doing. It's starting to take the place of Jesus. Starting to take the place of God. Because if only I had this, then I'd be able to do that. But the Bible teaches us that he's the supplier of all of our needs. That he's the one that guides me. That he's the one that helps me. And money is not my helper. Money is just what the Lord has given me to be a blessing in my life. And so this morning, it wants to become bigger than it is. It wants to overthrow us. It wants to determine everything that we do. It wants to kill every dream. It wants to be the dictator of our lives. But God says this morning, that has never been my plan, but that's what the enemy wants to do. The key there this morning I want us to think about just for a moment is the word love, because love changes the whole verse. And we know this morning that what we should love is our Heavenly Father. What we should love is him, because he's really the only one that's worthy of our love. And here's the good news, he gives a perfect love back. When was the last time money woke you up and said that they loved you? You know, when was the last time you look at your bank balance and thought, oh my goodness, my bank really loves me? No, all they want to do is get you overdrawn and charge you interest. All they want to show you is a zero or even a minus and make you worry, make you stress. That's all it ever wants to do. No money ever loved anybody, but our Heavenly Father loves you this morning. And before we even loved him or even knew him, he was loving us. And he loves us so much that he has all this worked out. He has all of this worked out. Can I tell you this morning, let me tell you this. Jesus spoke more about money than heaven or hell put together. More about it. Can you believe that this morning? You would think that's a big, important thing. You've got to speak about heaven. You've got to speak about hell. But Jesus actually spoke more about money and possessions than both of those things put together. In fact, 16 of his 38 parables that he shared were all concerned about money and possessions. That's nearly half. Nearly half of all that he spoke about was about money and possessions because he knew the way they want to dominate our lives. I would say that when we get up most days, it can be a big concern for us. Or maybe we're thinking, I'd like a bit more, or I'm not sure we ever think we could do with a bit less, but we definitely think about it. Oh, I'd really, if I had this, I'd be able to get that. And we just fall in this cycle, continuous cycle. Oh, I'm doing this because of that. And it becomes the be-all and end-all. God says this morning, I know how it wants to dominate your life, but it's not supposed to. The person that's supposed to be central in your life is me. Or and it's a thing, it's not even a person, but it wants to become central in our lives. And God says this morning, here's the truth, I've given money as a blessing, but it's never meant to be the blesser. It's never meant to take my place. Can I ask you a question this morning? What do you think is the number one killer of relationships, specifically in marriages? Financial issues. Number one. Number one thing, they did a study in the UK just recently, and they've repeated that study over and over and over again, and the number one concern that breaks down most marriages, or at least it's the number one out of all the different other things, is money, financial pressure, financial issues. Oh my goodness, we haven't got a job anymore, we haven't got this, what about providing, what about that? But we know this morning that God is our good provider, and he sustains us with every good gift from above. Every single thing that we have need of, he promises to supply it to us. Now, what it doesn't mean, and what I have to stress this morning, is that you're always going to be millionaires. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that you can trust me in all seasons. I've got a plan. You can trust me in all seasons. And what we're going to do is look at three kind of keys or maybe three kind of helps that would help you to step into greater financial maturity in every way in your life. And I'm telling you this, if Jesus spoke nearly half of his messages about money, we could spend weeks on this thing. So we're going to try to cover a bit of ground today and we'll see how we go. And if we need to go more on it, we're going to go more on it because I believe that God wants to bring breakthrough in our finances. Not so that you're feeling overwhelmed or underwhelmed to do this or to do that, so that you can feel a pressure lifting off. You can feel a pressure lifting off, and you can feel that object or that thing that wants to dominate move out of the way so you can better serve the Lord, so you can better know his heart, so you can know his presence in a more significant way than ever before. Number one thing I said, for relationships to fall apart in the UK in terms of marriages, is money worries. Money worries, money concerns, financial pressures. Jesus, he spoke more about it than anything else. Here's what the gospel teaches us. This is what statistics have been brought out. It says one in every 10 verses in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the New Testament, are concerned about money. Jesus spoke over and over and over again about it because he knows it wants to become such a big thing in all of our conversations. It wants to become a big factor in everything that we do. And yet Jesus spoke against it because he says, I want to be the biggest thing in your life. So here's the first one I want to look at, or the first key, or the first help that I believe is going to bring some breakthrough or bring some clarity this morning. And here it is. God wants us to feel content in every circumstance. He wants us to feel content in every circumstance. And I'm going to read a couple of our verses that are our most favorite verses. And I'm going to bring you into context this morning to show you what these verses are about. Who loves this verse? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We love that verse. Guess what that verse is primarily focused on? Financial issues, provision, possessions. That's what it's really all about. Let's read it together. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. You can mark this up or you can look it up or whatever you need to do or just follow it on the screen. For I have learned in whatever situation, this is Paul speaking. Now he's speaking about financial issues. He's speaking about possessions. He's speaking about the things that concern him, not about all the other things that we tag this verse with. And of course we can do that, but primarily it's about our possessions and it's about the money that we're trying to struggle with or struggle with, to do without. It says this, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and know how to abound. In any and in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then here comes the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Jesus was meant to be the source of everything. He was meant to be our contentment. He was meant to be our satisfaction. So there are times where we put ourselves in financial debt because I have to have what I have to have. And God says, be careful in that because it's dragging you away from what you really need and from what you really want. And that's my heart. You think that you want the latest iPhone or the latest iWatch or whatever it is and go bless yourself and go get that. I've got that, of course. But God says this, don't let it bring you into a place where it overtakes me. Don't let it come into a place where it becomes an idol or becomes something that fulfills your deepest needs or that gives you satisfaction outside of me because I give you that and I'm a lot cheaper than those things. That's what the Lord says. I am a lot cheaper than those things. I am a good God who blesses you with the right things. Be content in all things. And God loves it when we can be content. Now, what he's not saying is that you shouldn't have dreams and aspirations, and you shouldn't go for business ideas, and you shouldn't go for the dreams of your life, and you shouldn't go for the passions that God's put inside of you, because you should just be content. No, it's being content in financial situations. It's being content with what you do have, knowing that at the right time, at the right season, God's going to bless you. But he also gives you wisdom, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we could go into various different ways, and we could analyze in various different ways why you don't have this or why you don't have that. But I want to suggest this morning, at least start with contentment and say this, that I'm content where I'm at, and I know at the right time, at the right season, God's going to benefit me, and he's going to increase me. And any times when I'm not feeling content, I'm going to pray about it because I know that he can do that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Anytime when I've got discontentment or I'm not feeling content, then the Lord can help me. Let me read this other verse that we love so much. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We love this verse so much. Guess what this verse is concerned about, number one? Finances. Let's read it together. It says this, Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Can you believe that these things are in the same verses? These are connected because God knows money wants to walk beside you. Money wants to be your savior. Money wants to be your supplier. Money wants to be your everything. Money wants to be your first love. That's what Jesus is. That's who he is and wants to take over. But be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So now we bring this verse into context, and this is what we think about. Okay, Lord, do you know what? I'm going through a bit of a barren season. I'm going through a financial stress. I'm going through, like, I really want this new thing, but I'm going to have to do with what I have. You know, I'm just going to have to fix this thing up again. But don't worry, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Because even if you are in plenty or even if you're in lack, don't worry, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, is that saying that it won't be painful? No, it's not saying that you won't have times of trial and stress and it won't be painful and you won't be crying out your last breath sometimes saying, Lord, just give me another piece of bread or Lord, help me here or help me to get this job to come through because I need financial breakthrough or I need to keep this business afloat. It's not saying there won't be struggles. It's not saying there won't be pains, but here's what he says, I'll never leave you. I will never leave you in that circumstance. And I tell you what, money's not going to do that. People's going to take it off you or things are going to take it from you and it's not going to be there when you really need it. We know that. That's why we're in trouble with it so much. But he's going to be there when you really need him because he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what season, no matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstance, no matter what friend you know is struggling, we've got to reassure them and say this, but be of good cheer. He's never going to leave you. Be encouraged. He's never going to leave you. He is right there. He is faithful. He is faithful. This is so good this morning. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I tell you a story from my heart this morning, a personal story for me this morning, was over 10 years ago, 2008, I got married. What a great day that was. Nikki's in the room, have to be good. What a fantastic day. It was a fantastic day. It really was. A brilliant day. But here's what happened about 6 months later, which was not a good day. It was a bad day. I was working for a company doing really good, enjoying my work. Everything's going really well. Some people know the story. But I was enjoying it. Everyone's good, making plenty of money, thinking I was like, this is awesome. This is all good, Lord. Everyone's great. 6 months later, I lost my job. It was made redundant. Recession was really bad, 2008, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And at Christmas 2008, I had no work and I had no money because I'd spent most of it on my house. So I had nothing left. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And here's what he said to me. He said, You had your faith in your bank account. You didn't have it in me. And I was, Lord, don't tell me that, Lord. Don't tell me that at this point. Tell me that earlier or tell me that later, but don't tell me that at this point. And it was like a sucker blow right in the stomach. And he said to me, you had your faith in your finances. You didn't have your faith in me. And I was like, really, Lord? He said, yeah, because now you're freaking out and you're worrying. I was like, yes, I am. Lord, help me. And he did something in my life that absolutely changed me forever. And it reassured me, and it changed me, and it transformed me. And it took me from a person that was secure in what I had and the possessions that I have, and it changed me from a person that was secure there to be a person that was secure in him. And in that 6 months, or that 6 months later, I had left with not a penny. I tell you this, I remember going over to visit Nikki's parents. They were over in Scotland at the time. And I remember checking my bank account. I had £16. That was it. Newly married, £16. That was it. Unbelievable. That was never the way I intended it. It was never the way I planned it. But I spent far too much money, and I didn't anticipate that a job could maybe go when you least expect it. And before you know it, I hadn't anything left. But what did I know in the midst of all of that? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And in that moment, I cried out to God. And I said, Lord, you got to help me. And I was really crying. I was like, Lord, you got to help me. But out of that, let me tell you what happened next. April, later on that year, 2009, I decided I'm going to going to start my own business. It was hard. First 2-3 years were very, very hard. Just kept going. But I believed that God was in it. Had to be faithful. Had to be stick at it. Had to be determined. Had to be committed. Had to do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I kept going. I kept going. Made a lot of sacrifices. But now today, 10 years on, that business is doing well. I'm comfortable in it. God has blessed me. He's blessed me like never before. And out of that, it gives me the room and space to be able to do things like what he's called me to do today. I want to encourage you, even in your darkest season, even in the time when finances are the very thing that you need, realize this, he's all that you need. Realize this, he is all that you need. And I know that's easy to say that if you're sitting here this morning and you're like trying to rub two things together, but I'm going to encourage you this morning that he is all that you need, and stay close to him and stay praying and stay thankful. And we're going to look at a couple more things this morning, but know this, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he is there to encourage you. So, amen, God is good. And even in that situation where I thought, Lord, I need more, or I need this and need that, he had it all under control, and he taught me to place my faith totally in him, not in anything else. Here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. What satisfies your life? What's the number one thing that satisfies your life? If it's possessions and things, then you're always going to pull away from Jesus. You're always naturally pulling away from him. If it's possessions and things, trust me, you'll never have enough. And when you get there, do you know what they've proven now over and over and over again? That happiness gets you nothing. It gets you nothing. It just gets happenings going on in your life, but it doesn't truly make you happy. It's not lasting joy. It's not the be-all and end-all. There's as many unhappy millionaires as there are homeless people. It's just the same difference. It's not about possessions in that sense. It's not about money. Of course, it makes life better, and it's the way life works, but it's about Jesus. It's about him. If you've got him, you're rich in every season. You're rich in every way, and he will bless you, and he will keep you going, and he will sustain your life. Second thing this morning, I want us to think about this. Nikki and I were talking about it yesterday, and we said to ourselves, wow, this is a big one. We don't really think about it that much. Second one to really help us when it comes to finance, how are you guarding against greed in your life? How are you guarding against greed in your life? Bible tells us to guard your heart, to protect your heart, to guard your heart. But when we break that down, what does that really mean? It means a whole lot of aspects of things. It means a whole lot of, it means a whole range of things. And one of those biggest things is greed. One of the biggest things that wants to rob us of our lives is in greed. Greed for this, I've got to save more, or I've got to earn more. And either one can try to dominate our lives. I want more, or I want to keep more. But God has called us to be generous givers. And so this morning I want us to look at it. How are you guarding against greed? Here's what Luke 12:15 says. Jesus said, watch out. It's a verse all about possessions and money. Be on your guard against greed. Watch out. Anytime he says that, he's saying to you, watch out. This is important. You need to know about this thing. So I want to read the whole verses together. This is what it says, verse 16, I think we've got it, Peter. We're going to read it together. It says this, he told this parable. It says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. Then verse 19, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to them, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Just incredible set of verses that just reminds us that of course God wants us to have wisdom. Of course God wants us to plan ahead. Of course God wants us to have plenty. But do not forget to be a blesser. Do not forget about the world around us. Do not forget that our ultimate goal is not to protect ourselves and sustain ourselves and provide for ourselves. Because guess what happens when we do that? We have no need of God. When you have a full belly and a full bank account and you have all that you need, who do you need? You don't need him anymore. You don't need him anymore. So be careful with the things that God has blessed you with, that you don't store them up to excess, that suddenly that becomes the supplier of your needs, that suddenly that doesn't become your firm foundation, that suddenly that doesn't become your greatest friend. You remember the guy, the rich young ruler? He says, I'll do anything for eternal life, Lord. I'll do anything to have what you have. And Jesus said, okay, give up all that you have. Because he knew the biggest need of his life. He knew the supplier of his life. He knew the sustainer of his life. And he says, that's always going to get in the way of me. So he says, give it up. Oh, he says, Lord, you don't know what you've asked me to do. That's my prized possessions. That's what I've worked hard for. That's what you have blessed me with, in a sense. That's what my Heavenly Father has blessed me with. And you want me to give that up for you? He didn't realize that he had made the worst decision of his whole life. There is nothing more valuable than Jesus. There is no one that will sustain your life greater than him. So store up all of those things, but be careful. Be careful that if you lose all of those things, where do you go to? It's kind of a story of my life. 2008, I thought I was doing all right. I thought I'd stored everything up, got everything just lined up, just married, got a house moving, got things going into it, got a good job. It's all good, Lord. Everything's working out really well, Lord. I'll come to you when I'm stuck. And then before you know it, 6 months later, I was really stuck. And I said, Lord, I've got nothing. He says, no, you've got nothing. Because all of your treasure was in earthly things. All of your security was in earthly things. All of your hopes, all of your dreams was in that, was in this, was in all of those things around you. But they needed to be in me. And the Lord wants to encourage you this morning. Where are your hopes and dreams? Where are your hopes and dreams? Are they in him or in the things that you have or the opportunities that are going to come your way? When you struggle, maybe you're struggling here this morning with greed. Maybe you're prone to overspend or maybe you're prone to oversave. I want to encourage you with that this morning. You know, saving is not the be-all and end-all, but it's important. Overspending, I'll encourage you on that one. I think you know on that one. It's not the be-all and end-all. But we've got to get somewhere where we understand that we're called to save, but we're called to give. We've got to understand that we're called to store up and have what we need, but we're not called to have more than we need, because that's what the Lord says. Give that away. Be a blessing to the people around you. Here's what I want to encourage you with. I, for a long time, deceived myself and said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to give to the Lord because he's got plenty and I don't have too much. That's what I said. Good Christian says that all the time. That's what I said. You know, the Lord said, okay, you be like that. But if you're the supplier of your needs, then you're going to have to supply them. But if I'm the supplier of your needs, then I have to do it. Which one do you want? I says, well, Lord, I really want you to do it, but I'm still scared to give up what I have. So he says, okay, be like that. So that's what I did. I just kept all the things I had to myself and made all the excuses of the day. And I was just a young Christian. I'm just a teenager. I'm just in my 20s. But here's the thing. Life goes on and you still keep making the same excuses and you keep telling yourself the same things, trying to justify it. And day after day, week after week, I'll not give here. They don't need it, or they've got more than enough. I need it, you know. I need, Lord. And eventually, I came to a place where I recognized, you know what? If I am not generous, how can the Lord be generous to me? If I'm not going to be a giver, if I'm not going to be a person that God's called me to be, if I'm not going to strive to be like Christ or aim to be like Christ, well, then I might as well give up, because the goal is to become like him, and he gives everything away. I deceived myself for a long time, and then I started to give the little that I did have, and I watched how the Lord blessed me. Here's what I find when it comes to giving. Every time you give, it's an investment into the kingdom of God. And he's such a good God. Now, you don't do it because of this, but because he's such a good God, guess what he does? He gives you such good interest. He gives you amazing interest. It's like going to a bank that just loves to give money away, not take money off you. Have you ever been to a bank that loves to give money away? That's the Lord. He's a good God. He'll give when the time is right, but you've got to give to him. You've got to give him your time. You've got to give him possessions. You've got to give him your finances. You got to be careful that you don't have too many possessions, that you have no time left for the Lord. But you got to make sure that there's room for others, that there's room in your giving, that we are giving, that we are not storing everything up for ourselves, but that we have room in our lives for everybody else, because we are not the sustainer of our own lives. We're called to be wise. We're called to be providers, but he is the ultimate provider, and he is the ultimate sustainer. So we seek him, and we serve him in everything that we do. Can I encourage you one piece of wisdom before we go to our last point? Is that God never called us to be owners. I know that we're owners of our own homes. I know that we're owners of our own possessions. But he never really called us to be any of those things. You know what he said? I want you to have wisdom beyond yourself. You're actually a good steward. You're actually a steward. Because every single thing that you have, I have given it to you as a blessing. If you think that you've achieved anything in your own strength, you are mistaken. Lord tells us we can do nothing in our own strength, but we can do all things through your strength. Every single thing that we have, it's been given to us by him. It's a blessing by him for us to be a blessing for everybody else. What's the best thing that you can do with your stockpile is let it flow through you. What's the best thing that you can do with the things that the Lord's blessed you with? Use them for the glory of the kingdom. Do you remember the story of the talents? I mean, that's primarily focused on money. He says, what are you going to do with the little that you do have, the little money that you do have? Remember the guy that had the lease? He says, I just buried it. I just put it away. I was worried about losing it for you, Lord. Master comes back and says, you wicked servant. You should have invested that. You should have at least got interest for me. You should have used that for the people around you. Remember the guy that had two and the guy that had five? The Lord multiplied them. Because when we are faithful with the little that we do have, the Lord will multiply it. Why? Because it's not ours, it's his. And I'm simply a good steward of what he has given me. How can you be a better steward? Ask the Lord that question. Ask him to reveal it to your heart. And then the last one, which we've already overlapped on a tiny bit, to give generously. To give generously. I want to encourage you this morning. I believe, a bit like prayer, you can't afford not to pray. I believe this, you can't afford not to give. You cannot afford not to give. Because here's the picture of heaven. Give, 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 flows into me. Give, give, give. The moment that I turn that bit off, what do I become? Instead of a river, I become a swamp. I become a swamp. And every good thing that comes into me now after that dies as well. Because a swamp has no life, apart from a few crocodiles. We don't want those. But swamps are no good. They're not good places. Rivers are where there's life. River is where it flows. It comes into me, flows out to you. Comes into me, flows out to you. Guys, we have been deceived for generations. This is how we're intended to live. Remember the early church? It says they met together, prayed together, gave everything they had together. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They came to the table and said, Lord, this is all that we've got. Holy Spirit reveals it to Peter and says, that's not all you've got. You've kept something back. They were dead before the day was out. Because what the Lord was revealing to us, don't be deceived by the love of money. The love of money will deceive you. It will pull you away from me. It will pull you away from me being your provider, me being your savior, me being the one that you need. And in that early church, it was vital that the Lord was able to move and the Holy Spirit was able to move. And in that moment, because the presence was so close, those guys messed their lives up. I want to encourage you this morning, realize the effect that finance and the pursuit of it will have on your life. God absolutely wants to bless you, but he's our number one pursuit. As we pursue him, he will bless us. As we go after him, as we cry out to him, as we seek him, he will supply everything that we need. I don't want anything to give. This is what I felt for so long. Maybe you're feeling like I don't have anything to give. Do you know what I want to encourage you with? Give your 10p. Give your 10 minutes. Give whatever you have. The widow gave her two mites. That's nothing. If we were to bring that into today's money, I'm not even sure it would add up to a penny. It would add up to nothing. And Jesus turned around her and said, you've given everything better than everybody else in the room. See, it's about the attitude of our heart, and it's about actually allowing that attitude to flow to actions. And if we don't do that, we're just stifling ourselves, and we're just holding back from ourselves. So here's what it says, Philippians 2, 5, 7. Can we read these couple of verses together? We're going to read one more verse, and then we're going to be nearly done. How about that? This is what it says. It says, we are instructed to have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, emptied himself. He emptied himself. I'm just cutting a couple of bits out of it. He emptied himself. This is what the Lord did. He emptied himself for our benefit. We are called to empty ourselves in every way for the kingdom of God and for the people around us. And he will supply us with more. If the same God that supplied you in the first instance, if you give away, trust me, he'll be able to supply you in the second, the third, the fourth, the hundredth, the thousandth. Don't think this. His arm is not short. Bible tells us that. His arm is not short. He has all the riches that we need. He has everything that we need. And he will supply it at the right time. 2 Corinthians 9:8. We're going to do this one. It says, God is able. Can we read this one together? God is able to make all grace abound to you. This is speaking again about abundance, about possessions, about the things that God that we need and the things that God wants to give us. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Here's the way you cancel that verse. that if you're the one that abounds to yourself, if you're the one that supplies all of your needs, then you don't need the rest of it. You don't need any of the rest of it, and you'll just live on the lack, or you'll live on the tiny bit that you have. But if you're in need, this is what the Lord says, I am able to make all grace abound to you. If you're in need, if you need me, if you ask for me, I'll help you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. This is what the Lord promises for our hearts. This is what he wants to give us. Can we stand this morning? We're going to get ready to worship. God is able to make all grace abound to you. He's able to make all grace abound to you. And I want to encourage you, if we're struggling in these issues, if we're struggling to make ends meet, or we're struggling how to handle our money, or we're struggling how to be wise, God is the person that we turn to. He is the friend that we need to seek. He is the one. Our bank managers are great. Our family that can lend us are great. But he is the one that will sustain us and will transform us. He wants to set us free from our want and our need and the desire to have this or to have that or to have this to be able to sustain everything else. The Lord is good this morning. Today, money wants to be a burden in your life. That's what it wants to do. Can we pray this morning? So, Lord, I pray this morning you just release this into all of our hearts. I pray this morning you give us favor and blessing. I pray this, Lord, you're going to give us supernaturally a greater mind, a greater way of going, and that you will bless us with everything that we need and that we can rest totally in you in all sufficiency. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord, and as we do that, we're going to give to the Lord, both in our worship, but in our giving financially. And I want us to bless the Lord this morning. Bless him with everything that you have. Bless him with the good gifts that you've been given, because he has blessed you with everything. And remember, this is not a message to get you to give better, to try and put you under pressure. This is to reveal to you that God is so good that he is worthy of everything. Do not hold back from what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to bless you in abundant ways. Amen? Come on, let's worship the Lord.